This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Enjoy a little rain now and then.
You know, I think the beginning of fall is this coming week. And this past week, we were in the triple digits. And so I think fall starts on this coming Thursday.
Well, you know, this last week, it was 98. Yeah. And that's pretty dadgum warm.
Yeah. It's way too hot for this time of year.
Well, and some mornings it was 73. One morning it was 82.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm going, and here we are at fall, and it's warm.
Yes. Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Well, it's football season.
It is football season.
And, you know, it always gets like this. Football season. Start to get crisp.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those crisp mornings when you get up and you can't quite see your breath, but it's nice and cool, so you need a jacket, and then it's that nice break from all that heat we've had all over the summer, and then throughout the day, you know, the sun comes out and gets a little bit warm, but not terribly hot. This is almost like the perfect weather.
Fall is a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to see the leaves change. Everything changes.
Yes.
And leaves are falling on the ground.
Yes.
And I have some friends that are going to Nova Scotia.
Really?
Yes, they want to see the leaves up there in New England.
Boy, I bet that's beautiful.
I told them it's going to be too chilly to go this time of year.
Yeah.
It gets pretty chilly in Nova Scotia.
I'm sure, yeah, because that's way up there.
You realize that is all the way up, Nova Scotia?
That's like Canada kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it is. And they're taking a ship from Boston.
Oh, so they're taking a cruise.
Oh, yeah, they're going to do it on a cruise. But the cruise will have all the ports of call for all those places in New England.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
A little chilly, but still.
It's a little chilly for me, but they promise they're going to eat lobster, they're going to eat oysters, they're going to have all the fish they can eat.
Oh, boy. I've never done it, but I'd love to do some kind of a tour of, maybe not Nova Scotia, but like the Northeast, New England, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Maine in the fall and see all the foliage.
I know a lot of people have went. They say it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That New England, they have all these tours you can take. Mm-hmm. And you can see all the old historical things as well as all the leaves turning. And they have beautiful trees up there.
Yeah, yeah, they do. I've never done it, but I've seen the pictures. And it's just the variety of colors. It looks fascinating.
It is. It's very, very pretty. But I've never been to Nova Scotia, and I think I'm anxious to hear how cold it was in Nova Scotia.
I'm not sure I want to go to Nova Scotia.
I don't either.
My goodness.
That is real fishing country.
Yeah. It's cold. It's isolated.
Oh,
it's
isolated.
Not really sure that's it's on my bucket list.
No, it's not on mine. Texas is really my bucket list.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many interesting things here. I don't believe you could ever see every little thing.
Exactly. And our weather, it never gets too terribly hot. I mean, we may get a few warm days. It never gets too terribly cold. We have a few cold days. But for the most part, it's right in the middle. We don't have natural disasters here. For the most part, in West Texas anyway, we don't have hurricanes like we've seen, you know, last week.
That's a blessing.
It is. We don't have, really, for the most part, earthquakes that we have to...
No, we don't have those.
Well, I mean, we're kind of nestled right in the perfect place.
We are. Now, I know you say it doesn't get too cold. Now, for me, you know it gets too cold.
Well.
December and January are my worst times.
Yeah, it does get a little chilly. But at least it doesn't get like into the... We don't see daytime highs in like the single digits for the most part.
No, no, no. But lots of times, you know, it's 27 or 35, and that's pretty cold.
Yeah.
For most outdoor sports.
Yeah. But by then, we're inside watching football. So.
That's right. Everybody's in football.
we can get away with it for a little while.
That's right. They're in front of the telly.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where we should be.
That's right. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, you can always go to the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies from past investments, see exactly what people have been making, find out about how the process goes, see what real people are really saying about real investments. And this is all about growing your money so that you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And that's the whole point. We want to retire. We want to look forward to that. But you got to make sure that you're planned ahead.
That's right. You can't just say, I'm going to retire one day and do it.
No.
If you don't, have you even checked your bank accounts? Have you checked, how much your investments are worth? How much you've got?
Yeah.
So it is important to know where you're going and how you're going to get there.
I think sometimes people think, well, I've got a little nest egg here, so that should be fine. If you say that should be fine, you need to start taking a look, because should is guessing.
That's right. And you don't want to guess about your money.
No.
It's too important. Now, I talked to some people this week that said they basically are going to need $140,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have to work hard.
Yeah.
If you need $140,000 a year, we've got to keep those investments moving way past you starting to retire.
Yeah. So you got to lead up to retirement age. You got to ramp up to it. You have to make sure that you're growing your money so that when you retire, you have enough. But then once you do retire, even though you've got enough in the bank, you still need to be growing that money. And this is really the best way, the safest way, because the last thing you want to do is be out of the workforce and you're relying on your investments and you're in the stock market and then watch it just go down and crash and bottom fall out.
That's right. And you can't afford it then.
No.
Now, if you're 25, 45 years old and the market crashes, you can make it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take 6 years to pick it back up, or seven, you'll make it. But if you're 65 years old and say, I'm retiring today, and the market has a bad time, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I don't know what you're going to do. You're not going to have enough to live on.
No, you're just going to have to keep going, and retirement is now on hold indefinitely.
Yeah. And most people, when they retire, they want to start taking cash.
Exactly.
And if you don't have anything, you can't take it.
Right.
So you need a plan that is pretty solid.
Yeah.
And you need some investments that you know what you're going to make.
Right.
And that's why I think a life insurance policy is a pretty good investment.
Well, yeah, it is, because you know what you're going to make. You know the term of the policy.
That's right, the term of the policy.
So, you know that roughly, okay, so if it's, say, a 24-month policy, you know that in 24 months, give or take, you're going to get a payoff.
That's right. And they can go over. We know that. That's your big risk. Mm-hmm. If the policy goes over, is it going to hurt you? Do you have enough money to sustain yourself? If you don't, you shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You should have several policies where if one goes over, it won't make any difference.
Yeah.
You'll still get paid on that policy, but it's going to be later.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get paid on time, and the others you will. And then some of them you're going to get paid early.
Yeah.
So it all works out in the end.
So for those that aren't really familiar with investing in life insurance policies, it's very different than like investing in the stock market.
It is. There's not as much speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when stocks, you speculate every day. Will it go up? Will I make money? Will it go down? How's it going to end up?
Yeah.
Well, with this, we tell you what you're going to make up front. We tell you what your investment is going to yield and what your percentage is. You know all the facts. It's all on page 14.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know what the insurance carrier is, what their rating is. You know how old the person is. You know what kind of cancer? You know it's stage four. We've already told you that. But you know what kind of cancer? How many months? You know that if it goes over, what it'll cost you? Maybe $500. Maybe $1,000. But you know all that in advance.
Because you got to pay those premiums.
That's right.
So when you're looking at these policies, these are not just, these are solid policies that real people own, and they need to sell them for a variety of reasons.
Mostly to pay the care,
mm-hmm.
because cancer care is very, very expensive. And they say a lot of people go into bankruptcy because they can't pay all the medical on cancer.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I knew they got in bad shape and had to sell their life insurance policy, but I didn't know they went into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
They say about 40% of the people do go bankrupt.
Oh, really? 40%?
Because it's so expensive.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking about the big cancers.
Yeah, yeah. And the stage four. When these are the ones that you bid on, and these are the ones that people are investing in. And you, the reason you do that is because, well, there's a difference between being elderly and being sick. And
and we talk about that. Those elderly people are old, old, old. Bless them.
That could go on for decades.
It could. In the meantime, it's going to hurt us.
Yeah.
So stay away from them. Don't buy an old person's policy.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people. We love them. They're our grandmothers and great-grandmothers. But my gosh, they're not sick.
No.
They're just old.
And this is business. This is investing. And you don't want to just feel sorry for somebody and make a bad investment.
No.
You don't win that way.
You will not win. And, you know, several years ago, we bought some of those. Someone talked us into them, said, oh, they're going to die very soon. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't, did they? They're still alive.
Yeah.
But Mr. Hammond did. Now, Mr. Hammond passed away last week, and we were thankful for that because that was a big premium we were paying.
Yeah, yeah. Those are expensive.
They are, but we've got three or four more to go. As soon as those are over, we're burning the paper.
Well, eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And I'm hoping that's this year, but we don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So, first of all, the thing to know when you're thinking about getting into investing in life insurance policies is that these are real, and they're going to mature. And we're talking about a matter of months, as far as what you know the life insurance or the life expectancy says.
That's right.
Usually, what 18, 24 months.
24, 27. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot this year that were 12 months, 14 months, and 18, as you know.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of them already mature.
Yeah.
They were sicker than we thought.
Yeah.
And we were sicker than the doctors thought.
This has been a big year for early maturities.
It has. It's been the biggest year we've ever had for early maturity.
And what this means, and we bring this up because what this means is that those who are investing in these policies have had a chance to take their profits and reinvest them quicker, which grows your money faster, and the whole process is just expedited, and you're growing it at a faster pace.
That's exactly right, and that's what we're interested in. That's what we really need.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we have one that, like you say, 18 months, and it comes in 12, that same year we can reinvest it.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make them a lot more money.
Yeah.
And, you know, lots of times the doctor will say, this person's going to live 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that if it's pancreatic cancer, that usually doesn't work that way. Usually pancreatic cancer, if it's non-operable, is about 9 months.
Really?
Yeah. We've only had one that's gone over on pancreatic cancer.
So why would they give it an expectancy of 18 months if they think
being
it's
very,
be
very
nine?
Conservative.
Okay. So when we look at the policy and we say, okay, I think I'm going to bid on this. You go through all the thing, you know, they've been through the treatments and all that. And then it's a go. And then we say, okay, I'm going to bid on this policy. I'm going to get this policy. And then in turn, people invest in it. 18 months is probably longer than, I mean, it could go over, but 18 months is conservative. And so you can almost, I don't want to say count on, but you can be pretty sure that it's going to come in earlier if it's a certain type of cancer.
Well, and that's right. And our people know their cancer. They're getting where they've been with me 3 or 4 years. And when I say it's stomach or pancreas, they know. And they all say, I want to end that policy.
So your investors are learning.
Yeah, they're learning about the different kinds because they've had a lot of maturities.
Yeah.
Remember, we've had some people had 4 this year so far.
That's a lot.
That's an awful lot.
What is an average year of how many would an average year?
1 or 2.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But to
and
have 4?
Sometimes you might not have one for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as many as they have, they're diversified enough, they usually have 1 a year.
Yeah.
At least.
So when it comes in, say it's 18 months, and it comes in 9, they still get the 18%.
Absolutely.
It's just faster. It's not like, okay, well, it came in 9 months, so you only get 9%.
No. You get the full amount. Doesn't matter when it comes in. And if it comes in early, you just get that 18% earlier, which helps a lot.
Oh, yeah, because you can reinvest it earlier and then keep growing it faster and faster. And so it really is a win-win situation. And when you're looking at policies to bid on, and you know we were talking about this just a second ago, about the different types of cancers, and there's certain cancers that you know the doctors may say 18, they're probably going to come in early. What are some of those that really get your attention when you're looking at?
Well,
ones
of course, colon is another one.
Mm-hmm.
They say colon cancer is the most deadly one, and we buy a lot of colon cancer because usually it's like pancreatic cancer. They don't discover it in time. Mm-hmm. People say, we didn't know I had it. So it was there a long time before you discovered it. So the treatment is aggressive, very, very aggressive, but usually it's already spread. And that's what we look for is where is this cancer gone? Where did it start and where is it today?
Yeah.
And most of them, it'll start in one location. It's already traveled a lot. And I get a lot of lung cancer that it's already in the vertebrae. Mm-hmm. If it's in your vertebrae, I'm telling you, it's already spread too far.
It's moving fast.
It is. And then we have some slow cancers that people say, well, this guy's going to live 4 years. And they may. But usually they don't.
And those are stage four?
Uh-huh. Stage four, they'll say, it's aggressive but slow.
Really?
Well, if it's very aggressive, it's going to be pretty fast.
Yeah.
But they think it's slow.
Aggressive but slow doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me.
But it does. It'll say that lots of times. But most cancers are fast. They discover them way too late. And they'll do treatment, but it's not going to do any good.
Mm-hmm.
Breast cancer is another one. There is some that are slow. There's some that are very aggressive. And when they are, you don't live a long time. Because breast cancer, it gets in all those nodules and lymph nodes. When it gets in all those lymph nodes, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, yeah. Because then it's just spread too deep and too far. And
people don't realize we have lymph nodes all over our body.
Yeah.
So it's not going to, it'll go under the arm and those lymph nodes, then start spreading the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does, you're not going to live long.
Yeah, it's like our whole root system.
It is. It's like a root system. And we find that women are, what is the word for it? They do not want their beauty to change.
Yeah.
So lots of times, they won't let them operate. They'll go to Mexico. They'll go to Germany. They'll go to South America
mm-hmm.
and do all these odd things to their body. And they'll come back, and it's gone so far then, it's too late.
So they've essentially wasted time.
That's
for...
Exactly right.
Some treatments that may...
That might have helped. Might have prolonged it. It might not have cured it, but it prolonged it for maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And they get this idea. And when I read all this, you know, that they wouldn't do conventional medicine, I know right then we want that policy. Because I know that their term will be a lot shorter.
Yeah, because when someone is diagnosed with cancer, it's important to get on treatment right away, get it earlier. Because they're always saying, especially with breast cancer... and colon cancer, the earlier you can detect it, the earlier they can start treatment and the better the results are. And if somebody has gone to, like you say, to some other country and tried, you know, drinking special water or whatever it is,
oh, yeah.
Then they're not doing those treatments that they need to. And those are the policies that you're looking for. And I think one thing we should point out is that obviously our goal is for everybody to live and survive and make it.
Absolutely. That's what we want, but we know it isn't going to happen.
Exactly.
If
the
it's
truth
stage
is,
four.
Yeah, a lot of times they're not. And so as human beings, we want them to live. But you're looking at this from a business standpoint because the policyholder needs to sell that policy. And once it's sold, it's got to go somewhere. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to be there to buy it. And that's where you come in. So it helps the patient, but now you've got to do something with it.
Well, and the thing of it is this. We help two people. We're going to help the patient. They need help. Mm-hmm. They need the cash. So they come to us, and we're going to give them the cash. And they can do a lot of things medically with that.
Yeah.
Then our client is here to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, how can we make a profit? Well, we put them into this policy. And that's how they're going to get ready for retirement.
Exactly. So really, it's kind of a, as far as the selling of the policy goes, it's really a good thing for both parties.
It helps everybody. Helps
yeah.
me, helps them, helps the person that's selling it. Yeah. Because they need top dollar right now, let me tell you.
And sometimes there are some policyholders that will sell their policy for other reasons besides just for medical things, like perhaps if they've been diagnosed and it's gone too far and they know they're not going to make it.
That's right. And lots of times they want to settle the estate.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more wealthy people that want to settle their estate knowing they are not going to be here long. They want to do it themselves. They mm-hmm. want to settle this thing before they die.
Yeah. And that's a good thing because settling your estate ahead of time makes sure that, you know, family members don't come out of the woodwork, you know, third cousin
will.
Removed, you know, is, oh, so-and-so promised me in fourth grade that I could have this.
That's
and
right.
It causes arguments and families break up. And
how about the yard boy across the street?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of my funniest stories on my deal is, you know, when I started settling this estate, the yard boy from across the street knew he was getting money. And I'm going, you got to be kidding.
That's not so much the case.
And it's not the case. Then there was relatives, bad actors is what I call them.
Yeah.
They came out and said, oh, we know she was going to leave something to us. She didn't leave anything to those people.
Yeah.
She didn't even speak to them.
But as long as somebody comes forward and says something, it's got to be looked into, which holds up the process. And so people try to avoid that.
They really do. And a lot of them. People do change their will over the years. People don't believe that.
Yeah.
But they do. And they're going to leave somebody out. And they go, well, we want to see the will. We know we're in it. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
They're not in it because I'm looking at it.
Exactly. And so, you know, in an effort to go ahead and avoid all of this, avoid legal tie-ups, keep the family together,
They'll
go ahead and settle their estate.
That's right. And I love that idea.
Yeah.
Because before you die, if you settle it, nobody can say a word. They say, well, you know, old so-and-so did this now instead of after they died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a brilliant plan.
Yeah, it really is. And then whoever it is can pass away in peace, knowing that everything has been handled.
Everything's handled, and it doesn't matter what you think, you can't say a word.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I'm all for it.
The policyholder gets what they want. The family members go ahead and get what they want because the estate is settled. And then that policy has to go someplace. And then you come in and then you start bidding on these policies and you're bidding against other companies.
Oh, yes. And sometimes it's very treacherous out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we get our share. And right now we're waiting on several $1 million that we're trying to close.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Are these policies that you've been awarded or that you're bidding on waiting to find out?
We're waiting to find out.
Okay.
And as you know, sometimes it takes 3 weeks to find out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's quick and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
So these are policies we bid on and we're just waiting to see what the last bid will be.
So then once you, in some cases, you don't get them, but in other cases, you do. And so when you have the policy awarded to you, then what do? Now all of a sudden, okay, hey, I've got this new $3 million policy. It's sitting on your desk. Where do you go?
Then we start putting people in.
Okay.
We say, these are the people we need to get into a policy right away, and those are the ones going in first.
And how do you decide? Well, how do you, because I know you got a pretty good.
The first money in.
Okay.
Yeah, first money in goes first money back into a policy.
All right. So it's almost like a rotating.
Yes, it is.
Rotator.
Yeah, because you know whose policies have matured.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the cash in the bank. They're waiting. So they go come in first.
So say you've got some investors that have been with you for 10 years, say. And then I come in and maybe I meet with you this week,
uh-huh.
say, for the first time.
Okay.
And I'm brand new to this. Where would I fall into the process? Where could
probably
I
probably last.
Well, but are we talking like like next week or like in 5 years will I finally get
into policy? No. We wouldn't go that far. But it might be 60 days.
Okay, so we're talking, it's really not that long, even
it's
for a brand new.
It's not that long. It seems like it when you're waiting.
Yeah.
And you're impatient.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really going to be that long because you can't make this kind of money anywhere else.
You can't. You really can't.
So you need to just sit there, be patient, and grumble to yourself.
Don't call Faye and grumble.
Yeah. And say, you know, I know she's doing her best. She's going to get us in a policy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only so many policies out there. You're bidding aggressively all the time. You're getting some in all the time. So there's the whole thing is always moving. But there are some policies that you will just walk away from on purpose.
Well, and look at the ones we have to turn down.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have to turn one down, it just slows the process.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, though, from an investment standpoint, as an investor, I would feel better about that, knowing that you're being very selective about the policies that you actually bid on, as opposed to just grabbing anything that falls down, whether it's good or bad. I know that way, when you come to me and you say, hey, I've got this policy here, would you like to bid on it? I already know that you've gone through the process, and it's a good policy to bid on.
That's right. Someone asked me the other day, said, should we always just follow your lead or be more particular? I said, look, I bought the policy. I think it's good or I wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah.
You know, trust me on this is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So for somebody who's new and who's never done this before, I'm sure they probably hear that and say, okay, take Fay's word for it. But we're talking about $100,000. And people don't necessarily want to take somebody's word. They do after they get comfortable with the process.
Well, they need to read the LE. Read about it. What do you think? How sick do you think they are?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've read, I can't tell you how many thousand of these I've read.
Yeah.
So I know if they're sick or not. If they're not, we're kicking it aside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you want people to be comfortable. And so
Absolutely.
You'll go through all of these in detail. You go through page 14. You go through, you know, the treatments that they've had, the treatments that they haven't had, that should have had.
Yeah.
You know everything. And you go through the entire policy with the investor so that they know.
That's right.
And
we want them to know everything. We want them to be sophisticated. We want them to, you know, be able to read these and say, oh, yeah, I know how sick that person is. That's the policy I need to be in.
So you're educating investors as well.
Absolutely. We need to.
Yeah. So I know we mentioned page 14, and a lot of information's on page 14.
It is. Everything you need to know, in my opinion, is on page 14.
Mm-hmm.
It starts out with who the person is, how old they are, what kind of cancer they've got, what life insurance carrier is in charge.
Yeah.
You know all that. You know what the face amount of the policy is. You know how much you invested, how much you're getting back, what your percentage is. It tells you if it goes over. You can look at it right there and say, oh, okay, premium's going to be $500, or it might be $1,000. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells you everything. Then below that, it goes over what kind of cancer they've got.
So when somebody goes in, they can feel comfortable. And I imagine that probably the first investment, maybe two, they may be a little leery. I'm guessing,
they've got to get comfortable with the way it works.
Yeah.
And they've got to get comfortable with how I do it.
I feel like as the process goes on and people get into their third and their fourth investment, then they really start to relax and calm down and they're comfortable with the situation.
Well, and they're bringing more money by then.
Exactly.
By that time, they're saying, Fay knows what she's doing. We're going to rely on it, and they bring more policies. They bring more cash.
So that is a normal pattern of behavior for
investors.
Yes, it
is.
So when you've been investing for a while, I'm sure you probably have people who have been with you for 10, 15 years maybe. And you say, hey, here's a policy for you. You want in? They go, yeah, sure. And they don't even look at it at that point.
Well, and as you know, we had some people last year that in the 2 years they've been with us, they made $290,000.
That's incredible.
It is. And then we've got some people been with us, I think, it's either 3 or 4 years. And we added up their earnings this week. They made $640,000.
See, I know people who have lost $649,000 in the stock market.
They probably have.
And they still haven't recovered.
Uh-huh. They may never recover.
Yes.
It depends what they put them in.
Yes. And so that's the brilliant thing about investing in life insurance policies is you know there is going to be a profit.
You know there will be a payday.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, the premiums may go over, like you mentioned, and you may have to pay a premium, and that's just a little tiny percentage of your profit. Yeah. But you're not going to lose tons and tons of money. I mean, the stock market is so shaky. It's up. It's down. I mean, we hear it all the time. And
that's
so
right.
Investing in life insurance policies is probably the safest.
I think it's a lot safer,
right,
in my opinion. There's still risk.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody tells you there's no risk in anything is probably not telling the truth.
Yeah.
Because we know every day life is a risk.
Yes.
You know?
So the policy may go over. You may have to pay some in premiums. That's expected. People know that up front. What other risks are there?
Well, it's not liquid during that time.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an emergency and need money, you have to have other emergency money.
Yeah.
Because if you need a new pickup, you've got to wait till it matures.
Yeah.
And we've had two people buy pickups.
Really?
Out of their earnings. Uh-huh.
Really? And just go and pay cash.
Oh, well, heck yeah.
Oh, isn't that a great feeling?
Isn't that a great feeling?
Yes, it is.
I love doing that myself.
So there's two. Premiums, policy goes over. What's the third risk?
A life insurance company could go under.
Uh-huh.
And that's a risk. But in Texas, we've never had a life insurance company not pay off.
In how many years? Like 100 years?
Probably. I mean, I don't remember any.
Yeah.
That, you know, that didn't pay.
Wow. Wow. So okay, so those are the risks.
We did have a guy that stole money out of one. And he went to South America.
Well, now there's some good gossip.
Oh my gosh.
Is he still in South America?
I don't know.
Oh.
It was years ago that I heard the story.
Oh wow.
So I'm not sure.
All right. So the risks are there, obviously.
Yes.
But they're relatively low.
That's right.
And the point of all this is we're trying to find ways to grow your money so that you can retire. And this is not...
Retire early.
Exactly. And you want to make sure that the money is there. So if somebody in their 50s, say someone is 51, and they come to you and they say, all right, Faye, I want to retire when I'm 65. I've got 14 years. Here's how much I have. Here's how much I want. What do you do with that information? You
put we work on it. We say, okay, we need to do, we can do 27, 30-month ones. We don't have to do the short ones, mm-hmm. you know, and just keep it turning. And if he's got enough policies, you know, 4 or 5, we can work this out over, but that's a long period of time.
Yeah.
We don't even have to be short-term.
So people are, there's plenty of time to build that money, but you have to get started.
You have to work on it. You can't just... be lazy and procrastinate.
Yeah.
Men procrastinate. Love them, but they do procrastinate.
That's what we do.
That's right. And so you take a man that's going to procrastinate 2 or 3 years coming in. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's going to slow the process down.
So you put them on a plan,
so
to speak. And you say, okay, we've got this much time to make this much money. Here's how many policies we should go in. And then they start going into different policies. And then one matures, they take that profit, reinvest it, and then that matures, and then that gets reinvested. And so the pot keeps growing.
Well, and I had some people this last week said, Faye, we've got this much money with you. How much more do we need to put in for us to have $140,000 a year?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to calculate that and figure, you know, how many million it's going to take.
Now, I'm assuming the brilliant thing is by the time somebody does retire, we'll take the same scenario. Say the man is 51, wants to retire when he's 65. He gets to 65, he retires. Uh-huh. He's got that nice nest egg. He's got exactly what he wanted. Now, after he retires, his money doesn't stop growing.
It'll go right on.
Yes.
And then he's going to say to me, now, if I want to take $60,000 or $90,000 a year out, and we have to calculate, mm-hmm. if you're taking $90,000 out a year, how long will that money last, and how much interest do we have to keep making?
Mm-hmm.
If he's only going to take $60,000, we've probably got it made.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if he's going to take, let's say, $200,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
we've got to really have a lot of money.
You
got to
be a little bit more aggressive.
We've got to be pretty aggressive at $200,000.
So when somebody retires, I assume by the time they've gotten to that point, they've been with you for several years. So they know how the process works. They're comfortable. They know when you say, hey, here's a good policy, invest in it, and they say, sure. So now they're retired, and they're traveling, they're fishing, they're doing whatever they want to do, and you call them up or send them an email and say, here's a new policy, you want in, and they say, sure. They don't. It doesn't take tons of their time to keep growing their money.
And we've got all that interest growing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've got cash in the bank where they can do anything.
Yeah.
We usually try to, once they retire, I try to keep 2 years of cash at all times.
Okay.
So it may be $200,000, maybe $300,000, or it could be $150,000.
Yeah.
Whatever we think they're going to need in 2 years. Always give them a big cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if the policies go over, it doesn't matter. They've got the money.
Yeah. Because you want to have that nest egg. You always want to have
plenty of cash.
Exactly. And so, you know, I assume that when people are still investing after they retire, they don't have that stress. They're not worried about, like the stock market, about being up at midnight and checking everything. It's as though nothing has changed. They're retiring. They're enjoying their retirement. It's just their money is sitting over here on the back burner on the stove and just growing.
Right. And they don't owe a dime to anybody. So, mm-hmm. you know, everything they want to do is just spending pleasure money.
Yes.
You know, they all have a lake house. They all go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them just go to the hill country.
Yeah.
But they have the pleasure of traveling all the time. They may have one of those big RVs, $200,000 ones.
Yeah.
I've got some clients that have got them. Mm-hmm. They bought them just to take their grandchildren to Disney World. I mean, they may never drive it again, but they spend a couple hundred thousand for one to go to Disney World.
Just for a little family trip, and then when they're done, they'll go ahead and sell it.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I thought it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not if you're having fun.
Exactly. Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia. You always bring some fascinating information, whether it's things for our bucket list, things to do, places to go, stuff to see. It usually revolves around something here in Texas. What are we talking about today?
Well, you know, the State Fair of Texas starts in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
September 30 through October 22nd.
All right.
And, you know, we love the State Fair of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There is so many things, you know, from the women's canning, which we wouldn't even think in this day and age. They still judge the canning.
Yes.
They still judge the quilts.
Mm-hmm.
They still judge all that. Then we have the big car show, which, you know, is always great.
Yes.
They have the dog show, which is my favorite thing at the fair,
uh-huh.
besides the cotton candy and corn dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But there's State Fair of Texas, just a wonderful thing. One thing we've never talked about the State Fair, they have a contest before the State Fair opens every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the new specialty foods.
Really?
Now, you would never believe what all has won over the last years.
Yeah, I'm curious to
the
find
specialty
out.
Specialty foods is pretty dadgum funny.
Are we talking about things like fried Oreos?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, delicious. Oh, yummy.
They have won on so many things. It's hard for me to believe. But if you go back, fried Jell-O.
Fried Jell-O?
That was last year. Best in taste.
Really?
Fried Jell-O. Most creative last year was cookie fries. Never heard of a cookie fry.
Oh, I've never heard of that either, but boy, I want to try one.
Best in taste in 15 was Fernie's Holy Moly Carrot Cake Rolling. Most creative, Smoky Bacon Margarita.
Oh.
Bacon margarita.
Sounds delicious.
The next one, Fried Gulf Shrimp Boil.
Oh.
Then we had the State Fair Brew, a funnel cake ale.
Mmm.
Ale, a funnel cake ale.
I would never think to put those together, but anything with funnel cake in it is delicious.
A deep fried Cuban roll.
Not sure to think about that.
That one best in taste.
All right.
Most creative, a fried Thanksgiving dinner.
Really?
Everything had to be fried.
I can get into that.
Then they had a fried bacon cinnamon roll.
Yummy.
Then there was deep fried jambalaya. Now that would be fantastic. They had buffalo chicken and a flapjack.
Oh, delicious.
I mean, you know, this is hard to believe.
Wow.
Some of the others, fried bubble gum.
Do you eat it or just chew it?
It was the most creative.
Huh.
Yeah, fried, you could eat it. Then we had Texas fried Frito pie.
Mmm.
Fried beer.
Mmm. Fried beer?
Fried beer. It won best in taste.
How in the world do you fry beer?
Then we had Fernie's deep fried peaches and cream.
Yummy.
Deep fried butter.
Ooh.
That one in 09.
Oh.
Chicken fried bacon.
I can get into that.
Fried banana split.
Yummy.
Texas fried cookie dough.
Delicious.
Deep fried latte.
This is getting better as we go.
Fried praline perfection.
Ooh.
Fried cake and fried Coke.
Fried Coke?
Fried Coke.
Like Coca-Cola?
It won in 2006 for most creative.
Yeah, I would say that is creative. I don't even know how you'd start to fry Coca-Cola.
I don't know. Fried peanut butter jelly and banana sandwich. Fried.
Yummy. Mm-hmm.
Viva Las Vegas fried ice cream.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. This stuff. Can you imagine who thought it up?
I don't even know how they go there.
And all the prizes they get. It's just the darnest thing I've ever heard. Then there was the cheese dip. It was a chicken pot pie with macaroni and cheese dip.
Mm.
They had fried cookies and cream sundae. A fried prime rib quesadilla.
Really?
They have injectable great balls of barbecue.
See, now I want some of these things, and I don't know where I can get them.
It was a one-time deal.
They're here and they're gone.
It was just during the show. They had a lollipop fried bacon wrapped quail breast on a stick.
Oh, my.
They had a pina colada ta. Now, I don't know what that is. Pina colada ta.
Oh.
Seductive fried sea salt caramel wrap.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
State Fair edible colas.
Mm.
And I that's the end of it. But they've been doing this, as you know, the State Fair started in 1886.
Really?
And I don't know when they started all these fried things, but they had 55 entries last year. And, you know, not just anyone can compete even.
Really?
You have to have been there and had a concession stand at least 1 year.
Really?
So all the people who have concession stands can compete in this.
So they're probably just opening the concession stand and then prepping already for the next year when they can compete.
Yeah. Wow. And the other thing is they work all year on getting something fried that'll be a sensation.
You know, and that's one of the wonderful things about Texas is you can get fried things here that you can't get other places. I can almost guarantee that you cannot get fried Coca-Cola or fried ale anywhere else except here.
Yeah, a fried Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how they did it.
I don't either. I don't know what you do with it or how you make it.
It's just an amazing deal. And the year they had the fried butter, everybody wanted to taste it because they never heard of fried butter.
I hadn't either. And I want to taste it, too. It
yeah.
sounds delicious. Anything fried. You could fry anything. You could fry a hubcap, and it would be delicious.
Uh-huh.
Not that I've tried, but.
Well, yeah. But every year they have this contest. Mm-hmm. And as I said, last year it was 55 entries. And to win best in taste would really be something.
I'd love to be one of the tasters.
I would love to be a judge and do this because
yeah.
it's so spectacular.
yeah.
But it starts in 2 weeks. You know, they'll have all the things I talked about, the dog show, they'll have the car show. You know, they have a music deal. And I was looking online and saw all those women, what they can. And last year they had canned new potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, they judge those.
Wow.
And I knew they judged the green beans, you know, all the things they can put color in the glass, you know.
Yeah.
But I was shocked about that. New potatoes.
I didn't know that.
I didn't
But they're
either.
Delicious, though.
Oh, yeah. And remember, they have the petting zoo.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have, you know, the little goats, the little pygmy pigs. They'll have little horses. They'll have everything.
You know, it seems like the fair, maybe like some rides may change or get updated, but it seems like the same events and the same highlights are always there every year. And I think that's one of the things that people like most about the fair is the nostalgic aspect.
That's what I love. And then I love all the red and blue ribbons that the women get and the little kids get, different people
yeah.
get. It's a wonderful thing in Texas.
It really is.
And
you know?
The Texas Fair is bigger and better than any, I think, in the world.
Oh, I think it is.
Yeah, and it's so big.
Yeah.
And they'll have over 1 million people, you know, that will come to the fair over mm-hmm. that period of time.
That's incredible.
It really is. And then we'll talk about, before it starts, about Big Tex again.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. See if you remember all the things we talked about Big Tex.
I remember some. I remember the pants. I remember
yeah,
the pants are huge.
Everybody remembers the pants. Oh, my gosh, it's so big. It's boot size.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to make a boot that big and to talk about how they get those pants and that shirt on him.
Yeah.
And they have to have a crane.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
Wow.
And then talks, as you know, the year he started talking, and he's talked ever since.
I can't wait to go over that.
And little kids and parents, they love to come up to here and hear him talk.
Yes.
So anyway, we'll be talking about him too.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Man, I love the fair, you know? I mean, just you can tell you're getting close, you know, a couple miles away because you start smelling all the fried stuff.
Oh, yeah, you start smelling the food. Oh, my gosh, it's... And the corn dogs, Fletcher's, has been there ever since it started. You know, when they developed the corn dog, they've been there ever since.
The best.
And, you know, they finally passed away this last year. But, you know, they had that secret recipe up in Denton, you know, hidden away.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's always talked about it. The recipe's been hidden for years.
Yeah, I think we talked about those one time.
We did. About they hid it for future generations.
Yeah.
But they make the best corn dog in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had a Fletcher's corn dog, you haven't lived.
Yeah, the state fair is really a special thing to go to. So hopefully,
and they let the school kids out all over Texas for 1 to 2 days to go to the fair and have fun.
That is cool.
And they roll up there, the big buses. The kids have got their money. They're excited. And they gorge themselves all day long.
And then get on rides.
Yes, they ride all those rides.
Just a little piece of advice. Do the rides first and do all the food later.
That's right. And then they're tired. They go home. And they remember it the rest of their life.
Yes.
It's just a special day.
They're full. They're exhausted. They're tired. They're hot. And they get sick from all the rides and all that.
And they go home and they're sunburned. Their faces are.
Sunburned. And it's some of the most special memories ever.
It is. It's the best. Yeah. It is.
It really
so
is.
So anyway, it's 2 weeks till kickoff time.
All right. I can't wait.
30th to the 22nd.
Fantastic. The Texas State Fair.
Yes.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3332. Did you catch that?
3330.
I thought it made you more excited when you just sat there.
Wait a minute.
Yes, it's 877-588-3330.
You changed the phone number in like the last 10 minutes.
I know. Well, I thought it'd give you something to talk about.
Yeah. Jarred me for a second. And you're on 3105 Big Spring in Midland. You can always go by to the website as well and find all kinds of information. And that's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I like the, because you can go down there and look at the returns.
Yes.
See what people have been making. You know, you don't have to believe just what I say. Look at what the real returns are.
Yeah.
We post them every month.
Mm-hmm. These are real figures that people are making. And I think one of the there's so many big things about it. The big things is, you know, there's no stress about it. You basically set it and forget it. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't take your time.
You're not worried every day. You don't have to get up at midnight and see what the return is or how much money you've still got.
It's a very comfortable way to plan for retirement.
I think it's the best. I really do.
I think it's just a win-win everywhere you go. So for those who want to get started, what kinds of things do they need to look
at what all they've got. I had people, several people this week, brought me over everything. They said, okay, I've got money over here at Schwab. I've got a 401k over here. I've got an old 401k here. Then we've got some annuities we want to bring to you. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure up what all this is and how we're going to get it transferred, how we're going to make it work. What do we want to put in now? Are we putting in part of it, third of it, a half, or all of it? Are you getting ready to retire? If you are, we're going to have to, you know, do a lot of different things.
You know, to get really, really, you know, aggressive with it.
Right.
So do you find that most people come in for the first time ready to go or just want some information?
It works both ways. I never know.
Okay.
A lot of people come in and, you know, I just want information. So I'm relaxed. I'm just sitting there telling them all about it. Then all of a sudden they say, you know, I might want to do some today.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Or then I say, go home and talk this over. I say that to a lot of people. Go home. Think about it. Talk it over together. Decide what you want to do.
Well, I know investing in life insurance policies, it's a very simple concept.
It really is.
It's straightforward. But I know that people get used to, you know, your conventional investments like the stock market, and they're used to all the worries. And I'm sure that probably a lot of people hear about investing in life insurance policies, and they think, well, my goodness, you know, how can this be so relaxed? There's got to be a catch.
Well, a life insurance is a real asset, and a lot of people forget about that. You know, it's a real asset. It's real. When you invest in that, you know, you've got a good asset behind you.
Yeah.
It's not just a figment of our imagination.
Yeah.
And then we like, because the banks handle the money. The banks pay you. You know, the bank pays the premium on the life policies. So that's what makes it a lot safer.
So we're talking about,
we don't touch it.
These are respectable companies that we're
very, very respected.
And so they've been around for a long time. They're rated well.
And they're
good
at what they do.
Yes, they're A-rated.
They are.
So, you know, and it's all, I mean, that's important because, you know, when somebody's investing in their, you know, with their own money, no matter what it is, you know, you really need all the information that's available. And there's so much information, whether it's, you know, about the companies themselves, the, you know, the process, the policy holder, There's just a wealth of knowledge. So you go into this very, very well informed.
And all the life insurance companies we use are the best life insurance companies in the country. Mm-hmm. There's not any that you would say they're marginal. You know, they're A and AA because they're huge.
The best of the best.
They are the best. And remember this, every life insurance company has to put up reserves to cover this life policy. And it's not like a bank. A bank doesn't have to put up reserves like that. But a life insurance company does to pay your claims.
So there's always a backup. There's a plan B.
Always.
Just in case of an emergency. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be very comforting.
Well, I think so. And I love the life insurance companies that we use. You know, as I said, they are huge companies. Mm-hmm. And they pay a $20 million claim like they do a $100.
Wow.
And I like that.
That's great. They don't even bat an eye. So what are we looking at as far as the landscape for the next couple months, as far as policies, availability, things like that?
Well, we're hoping to have a lot more available. I think we will. I think we'll have probably 6 million available.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a lot.
But not in one day.
No.
Okay. In the next 2 weeks, I think we'll have 3 million available.
That's pretty
good. And I think then 3 weeks after that, we'll have that other 3.
Okay. So the important thing here is everything is laid out. It's all right there. There's plenty of opportunity, but you've got to get started. You need to make that initial phone call. Don't just drop in and say hi.
I have people drop in all the time.
Well, no, you're very busy.
No, they do it all the time. They
no! Just,
can I see Faye for 5 minutes? Can I see Faye for 10 minutes? I'm going,
Faye doesn't have 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Faye is very, very busy. So that you don't sit out there like
and
at the doctor's office waiting for hours and days on end, go ahead and make an appointment.
It is best, really.
Yeah.
Because I know you're coming, and I'll set aside an hour and a half for you.
Sure, you'll get them all the time.
I don't mind. I'll get them all the time they need.
But, you know, people, you're trying to, you know, wedge somebody in 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. People don't get the attention. And so you like to make sure that, you know, you've got plenty of time to go over everything they need to go over.
That's exactly right. And, you know, procrastination is a sad thing. Mm-hmm. You procrastinate too long, and lots of times you'll miss an opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be something you would really like to get in right away.
Yeah.
And it might be available. Mm-hmm. And it might not, you know, if you procrastinate. We don't know.
Well, we just need to get up and make that move.
That's right. Come talk to us. If you like us, we'd love to have you.
And you have room for appointments this week?
I do.
Okay. And so what's the phone number one last time for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.